Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. And welcome back to our review of Genesis chapter 2. I have selected earlier verses in our series to review with you this week and next. And then on December 7th, we will come back to verse 24. I hope that if you have your Bible with you, you will open it to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. That's where we'll be this week. And just before I read in Genesis 2, I'm actually going to start at verse 4. But just before I read the text, a reminder that last week we learned that God created us and God is with us. God has made us so that he can be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I hope you were with us for that. If not, be sure and get quickly caught up on the God Is Free podcast, which is easy to get from my website, godisministry.org. Check it out, friends. You never have to miss even one day. Okay, with that in mind, God has made us so that he can be with us. Let me read Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 for us. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. What I invite you to notice is that the high point of these verses is verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I consider what we read in verses 4, 5, and 6 to be preparation for what is read in verse 7. In particular, verse 6 is tied closely together with verse 7. Verse 6 says, "But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground." This is important. Every verse of the Bible is, and the value of this verse is that it shows us how God will provide water for the earth, in particular the garden where he will place man. Keep this in mind. There is no rain in Genesis chapter 2, but water is essential for plants to grow, for a garden to grow. And so if there is no rain, how can the garden grow? Well, God is way ahead of us. He causes a mist to rise from the earth and act like an underground sprinkler system that waters the whole surface of the ground. Pastor Robert Harbash writes, quote, "The mist, then, would be a sufficient and most satisfactory substitute until the Lord would send rain," unquote. I like that, and this again shows God to be preparing a home for the man and the woman. And make a mental note of how God prepares for people, because I'm going to remind you of this, and we will discuss God's preparation more when we get down to verses 8 and following. So in verse 6 of Genesis 2, God is watering the whole surface of the ground, and then in verse 7, God forms man and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. There is preparation for man, and then there is man. Obviously, we will spend some time here at verse 7. This speaks to the title of our whole series, God and Man, here he is, and woman. And those of you keen Bible readers who know the Word of God well will not need me to remind you that we have already read about the creation of man in Genesis chapter 1, which I read for us last week. So as I said we would do, let's reference Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading Genesis chapter 1 at verse 27. Genesis 1:27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." Why, if in Genesis 1 God created male and female, do we have Genesis 2 verse 7, where we again read of the creation of man, and Genesis 2, verse 22, where we will read of the creation of woman? This doesn't describe two different creations, does it? No, it does not. God creating man and woman in Genesis 1 is the same creation we read about in Genesis 2, but in greater detail. In fact, if you were to read Genesis chapters 1 and 2 together, which I hope you would do, then you will have seen that all of Genesis 2 focuses on the creation of man and woman. That's what Genesis 2 is about. What we read as a fact in chapter 1, God created man in his own image, is then explained, given in finer detail in chapter 2. We can say God gives us the big picture perspective in chapter 1 and then zeroes in on the smaller picture in chapter 2. But it is the same picture. We have to take Genesis chapters 1 and 2 together. And there is obviously a reason why God gives us the creation of man and woman this way. Why? Let's explore. And to do this, I want to get Genesis 1:27, the first part, and Genesis 2:7, also just the first part of the verse, side by side, again in your thinking. So I will read these texts together. First, Genesis 1:27a. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Now Genesis 2:7a. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. Let's just stick with man here. We will come to the creation of the woman later. However, please note, especially you women tuning in, that what I say here about the man also applies to you. In Genesis 1:27, man is made in the image of God. Wow! Think about that. When we look at one another, something about our image bears witness to God. This is what the properly famous theologian John Calvin called incomparably the highest nobility, and what the lesser-known theologian H.C. Leupold called dignity. Calvin, incomparably the highest nobility. Leupold, dignity. Oh, it would be very easy for us to read Genesis 1:27 and think we are really something very special. And we are. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the prized possession of God's creation. We are made in the image of God. This is truth that we should marvel at and never forget. We are of high nobility and dignity, and we will see more on this as we proceed. For example, how we differ from the animals. Animals that are also the creation of God. However, if all we had was Genesis 1:27, that would lead us straight into pride. So what God does in how he tells us the true creation story, he has his narrator Moses add Genesis 2:7 to Genesis 1:27 so that God can humble us. He knows of our proclivity for pride, so built into the second chapter of Genesis is a statement that humbles us. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. We are dust. Oh yes, dust. How about that? All of us are simultaneously made in the image of God and formed from the dust of the ground. I quote H.C. Leupold again, "This is a strange mixture of dignity and lowliness." Indeed, man is a strange mixture of dignity and lowliness. How true. Calvin is even stronger when he writes about Genesis 1:27 in light of Genesis 2:7. I'm quoting John Calvin, "Let foolish men now go and boast of the excellency of their nature." The body of Adam is formed of clay and destitute of sense, to the end that no one should exult beyond measure in his flesh. He must be excessively stupid who does not hence learn humility. Unquote. Calvin, he always knows how to be direct in tearing down the pride of man. he must be excessively stupid who does not hence learn humility. By the way, if you would like these quotes I am sharing with you, just write to me for them. So why did God give us complementary and not contradictory accounts of the creation of man in Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:7? I believe he does so to show us that, yes, we are made in the image of God, but that should not make us prideful because God formed us out of the dust of the ground. Let me put it to you this way. We are mere creatures. God is the creator. We are the pinnacle of his creation, but we are still part of the creation. Genesis 2 hints more than once at Genesis 3. In Genesis 2, man and woman are not prideful. The first man and the first woman understood their position, creatures made by God the Creator. But in Genesis 3, all changes when sin blasts into the garden. Then and ever since then, man has always been a prideful being. Oh, we could be so prideful. Well, my goal today has been to show you why God gives us both Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:7 in the description of the creation of man. He will do the same with woman in Genesis 2:22. When you join me again tomorrow, we will walk further into verse 7 of Genesis 2, learning about how exactly God made man. We move from the big picture to the smaller picture, a close-up, if you will. This reminder again that we are in our series, God and Man and Woman, in Genesis chapter 2. On December 7th, we will be moving back to verse 24, but this week and next, we're getting a review of Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to focus for a little bit here on verse 7, Genesis 2, verse 7. So I hope that you will stick with me and enjoy this review of this chapter thus far. We'll continue with this tomorrow right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.